Have you ever wondered about your local church leader's calling and testimony? On The Calling, we explore all of that. Joining us today is Jesse Haywood from the Kingdom Community Church. Jesse, thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity.
So your story sees you serving weekly at a brand new church plant.
Spanking new.
The Kingdom Community Church. That's here in Cookeville, right?
Yep, that's right. Yep.
The story of your calling starts significantly sooner. Mm-hmm. So we want to take a look at when you first knew that you had been called to ministry and service. Do you remember that moment?
It was more of a progression than a moment, but yeah.
Would you tell us a little bit about how that began?
Absolutely.
What the Lord began to do?
Well, my brother is a preacher, and as a child, I always looked up to him. He was called into ministry as a teenager, and so he was always on fire for the Lord. And I got to just watch that progression in his life. He's 7 years older than me. And I had a rebellious teenage year. I was the black sheep of my family, rebelling from the Lord, walking in a lot of sin, and got caught doing some bad things in my senior year of high school. My mom bought me this Bible. It was an emotional experience, but nothing changed in me. And then I go to college and just go off the deep end, was failing out, partying. And I just remember, well, I got caught doing some illegal things and was put on probation. And remember looking in the mirror, just sick of who I'd become. And the Holy Spirit just drew me to that Bible my mom bought me. She had underlined a verse in it, and God led me to that page, and it was Proverbs 3:6, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And God spoke to me in that moment. And from that point forward, my life was radically changed. I call that a kind of a hyper sanctification moment in my life. I was a Christian and professed faith as a small child, but that was a key milestone in my life in that dorm room my freshman year. And so people, they saw a radical change in me. I was telling all sorts of people about Jesus and studying my Bible and just talking about God. And random people that I wouldn't have expected asked me, are you going to be a pastor? And I was like, man, what are you talking about?
Sure, sure.
What are you talking about? And multiple people just kept coming up to me saying that. And I just was like, this is weird. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't shake it. It was literally keeping me up at night. I couldn't stop thinking about, like, am I being called to be a pastor? I don't know. And so I turned to my brother who had walked, not the same journey, but had walked through this calling to ministry. And I was just processing with him. And he said, an external call from people is oftentimes one of the beginning points in God calling you to the ministry. And so I went to my local church pastor, and he just affirmed what God was doing in my life. And that's really when the journey began, when I said, okay, I think this might be what I want to do. And so from that point forward, it just looked like serving in the local church and growing in my faith.
So from the period or from the time that your mom gave you that Bible until the time when that word was written on your heart, how long was that period of time?
That was about a year.
A year.
Yep.
Now that you look back on that experience, do you see things that happened during that year that the Lord, where the Lord was working upstream to get you to that point?
No.
Really?
I was in sin. Okay. What the Lord was doing was behind the scenes when my mom and dad were on their knees praying for me.
Yeah. Wow. So you felt an external call from people. You went to your local church pastor. What did he tell you?
Man, I don't really remember. I remember meeting with him regularly. He discipled me. We'd go to Cookout in Knoxville, right on the strip right there, and we'd meet. And I remember that's when I brought it up to him. Like, I think God might be calling me to the ministry. I remember sitting in at that table in Cookout, eating a, you know, $5 Cookout tray, just talking about this. And he just processed it with me. I don't think it was anything in particular, but he just sat with me and took the journey with me.
Yeah. So you use that word discipleship. He discipled you, mentored you.
Yeah.
How powerful, looking back on that, is how powerful is that now?
Yeah, I mean, it's crucial. I think that's what was missing for me in my early years. When I professed faith as a 10-year-old, nobody came alongside me and showed me how to follow Jesus. I wasn't taught how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to obey. And it wasn't until college when he and another guy in the local church, so the pastor and another guy named Brad, started to invest in me and walk with me and show me what it looked like to be a follower of Jesus.
So one of the things that we hear from so many church leaders is what helps them serve in a visible way is really a private, spiritually formed
That's
life.
Right. Absolutely.
Can you talk about any of the practices that you participate in and ways that you hear the Lord better?
Yeah. Oftentimes, you know, people look at pastors as these public, like it's a very public thing. You're standing before people, before a crowd, but the public ministry is nothing without the private and the behind the scenes, the obscurity, the wilderness is what I'd call it. You know, Jesus spent often many times getting away alone with the Lord, and that's where you're truly formed, and that's where those spiritual disciplines began for me in college. I never read the Bible until then, and I mean that's where it starts, is with God's Word. Everything flows out of that, and so I mean just a daily devotion in God's Word, letting God's Word speak. It's living, it's active. And as much as I could just get in the Word, that was the primary focus. And then from that, if you're in the Word daily, prayer naturally follows. And so those were the two primary aspects of that hidden life that formed me, was daily devotion in God's Word and in prayer. But then there's also a communal aspect, like we need people around us. And so being plugged into the local church and being around other Christians, and opening the Word together, praying together, doing just normal life together, those were the most important things that formed me into who I am.
So for all of our listeners out there right now who maybe are just beginning to hear from the Lord, what would your word be to them in terms of their spiritual disciplines that they could start to hear Him better?
I'd say be persistent. I mean, it's kind of like it's a relationship, and you got to think about it that way. If I never spend time with my wife, I never listen to her and I never speak to her, our relationship will struggle. And the same is true with God. If I never spend time hearing Him in His Word and speaking to Him through prayer, then our relationship will struggle, and I won't know what to do.
That's right. Persistence, such a good word. More with Jesse Haywood on The Calling when we come back. We're back on The Calling. I'm John Nichols. Today, our guest is Jesse Haywood. Jesse, you were talking before the break about that inner life of the person that you are and how that affects the outer person. Were there any key influences, maybe other than that man that discipled you in your early walk with the Lord?
Yeah. Books.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't like reading before I really started following the Lord. But books became a close friend to me because you can, you know, they're mentors in a lot of ways. And you can interact with them. You can slow down with them. You can process what people say. And so books became a close friend to me and have shaped me into who I am. And not only that, but just online ministries of even pastors and theologians were so pivotal to my formation as a man and as a Christian. I just began to devour everything I could during those early years when I was discerning my call. So I just wanted to know more about God, know more about the Word, and know more about how to live.
Yeah. So as you were discerning that call, reading books, listening to your pastor and other pastors, like what you said, being able to slow down and discern. Did you face any challenges early on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My flesh. You know, when you, even though I called it hyper-sanctification, like where there was this huge moment of growth in my life, that doesn't mean that those temptations went away. I still had to battle my own flesh, and there was moments where I fell back into old habits, to old sin. But how I knew God had begun a work in me was I was a lot quicker to repent and to turn back to Him, and I just became a lot more vulnerable and open with my struggles with other brothers, who could come alongside me and help me in those battles.
So you talk about your other brothers. What does that look like?
Yeah, for me in college, it was people in my local church, but it was also the Baptist Collegiate Ministry on Tennessee's campus. That was the first time I'd really had just a bunch of Christian dudes to hang out with. Mm-hmm. And that I didn't realize, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but looking back, that was really important for me in that season of life.
So what would you encourage our listeners out there if they don't have a group to have a group?
Absolutely.
Like that?
You need people. Yeah. We were not meant to do this Christian life alone.
Yeah. Did you resist that calling over a long period of time? Did you try to walk away from it, or did you just lean in and stay leaned in, other than just the, you know, the typical fleshly desires that we all face from time to time?
That's a great question. In college, no. I was all in, and I was committed to being formed into the man that could be a pastor, because I had a lot of time from freshman year till I graduated. And so I just dug in and just served in obscurity, reading and being discipled. But then I leave college and I go to seminary, because that was just the next step that people tell you to do. So I did, but God opened up a door to be a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. And so I took that and that opportunity, and God used that in my life so much, grew me so much, but it was hard. I was green. I had zero ministry experience, zero seminary training, and somehow this megachurch hired this dude. And, it was God, totally yeah. was God, and he used that to form me, but it was hard. I had a lot of growth that needed to happen. And when I got to the end of that time, when we had babies, me and my wife, and decided to move back to Tennessee, I intentionally stepped away from ministry to see. I wouldn't say I made a deal with God, but I remember praying, God, if you have truly called me, would you never let this hunger go? And so I stepped away from ministry and went to the business world, and God never let that hunger go away. So
wow.
Yeah.
Did that surprise you?
I don't think I had any expectations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for continuing to share your story with us. More from Jesse Haywood when we come back. We're back on The Calling. This is John Nichols. Today we've been talking with Jesse Haywood and just really enjoying our time together today. Mm-hmm. Jesse, we were talking about that journey before the break about mm-hmm. you becoming a youth pastor. Can you share a story about being so young in the ministry or pastorate where you just felt like, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm. There was a lot. I felt in the deep end a lot. That's probably why it was so hard, because I just felt out of my element. But it's oftentimes in those moments of pressure that God grows you and forms you into the man you're called to be. But yeah, there were several. I mean, one was a mom of a middle school girl who was getting picked on because she didn't have a cell phone, and the mom's trying to wrestle with, do I get my daughter a cell phone or not? She's just breaking down, bawling in front of me, and I'm early 20s kid, like sure. no children. I have no idea what to say. I felt out of my element there. I remember one time there was a boy who was dating a girl that got pregnant, and he's like a sophomore in high school, and he's talking about he's dropping out and gonna take care of this baby and all this stuff, and his mom's like, what do I do? Once again, I'm a 20-year-old kid. How do I offer this lady advice? You know, and God put us in those situations. It made me realize that you're not necessarily there to give advice. Oftentimes that pastoring a lot of time is just sitting with people in their pain and their suffering mm-hmm. and just being with people,
yeah.
To suffer with them, yep. to process with them, and to pray with them.
So probably out there right now listening to us, there's somebody going through that season.
Yeah.
Going through hardship or loss. What has sustained you personally in those seasons mm-hmm. of your life?
Yeah, several things. One, my devotional life with the Lord. If that's not good, then nothing else falls in line. Everything's out of order. So my relationship with the Lord is primary, but then also my relationship with my wife, she helps me. She's my helper. Mm. She's my rib. I couldn't be who I am and do what I do without her. And so that relationship is extremely important for me to nurture and just for her to support me along. And,
So the Lord has put on your heart to do something new here the Cookeville area. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting. Kingdom Community Church. We just had our first service March 9th, at Tennessee Tech's campus at the BCM. And it's been a cool journey. Cause like I said earlier, I'd stepped out of ministry, just wanted to serve in the local church. And, you know, here in Cookeville, there's not a strong seminary presence of people. Mm-hmm. And so when you're a seminary trained person and you move to the area and you join a local church, your pastors kind of take notice of that. It's not that they want to, you know, just use you and jump on you. Nobody did that. But I offered, I said, hey, I'd love to teach. I enjoy teaching if there's any opportunities there. And there was in the college ministry. So got plugged in at Stephen Street. That's where my wife was raised. So we just got plugged in right away when we moved here and just started serving in the college ministry, teaching, leading a group with some other people. And Pastor Scott gave me some opportunities to preach on Sunday nights. They don't have Sunday night services anymore, but at the time they were, and people seemed to like it. And so he threw me up on the big pulpit on a Sunday morning one time, and when he needed someone to fill in, and from that point forward, he just began to use me. And it was really there that he met with me for lunch one day, and he said, God has given you a gift. What are you going to do with it? Mm. And I didn't really know. I had told him about church planting, that, you know, that was a part of my journey in my calling to ministry. I was a part of a church plant in college, and the youth ministry job I had was at a church that plants churches. So I was always on my mind, but I didn't want to leave Cookeville, and I thought church planters leave their town. And but he said, well, what's stopping you from planting a church here? And I didn't have a good reason. I obviously love this place. And once we started walking this journey, he just said, let's pray, let's seek the Lord and see if he wants us to do this. And as we started down that journey, just looking at the data of our community, I don't know outside of Southern Baptist world, but in Putnam County, 10,000 people have moved here in about the past 10 years. But in the Southern Baptist church world, attendance has decreased by 2,000. Mm. And so we just realized we need more healthy churches.
Yes.
And one of the quickest ways to reach people is by starting new churches. Mm-hmm. That's just the data.
It's just the data.
What it is.
It, sure.
And, you know, we would love to help in revitalization, but oftentimes those churches don't want help. We would love to help, but we just realized that church planting was really our only option. And so we just started taking that journey, and God just confirmed that time and time again. Tons of stories I could share, but we truly believe this is God's plan for Stephen Street, which is really neat story because First Baptist started Stephen Street 77 years ago. And then now 77 years later, Stephen Street starting their first church.
Wow. So, what's your hope? What are you going to get after, say, in the next 12 months? What's your hope for the Kingdom Community Church?
Yeah, we're really focused on three things. We want to strengthen families. That's the bedrock of society, and the family's falling apart in a lot of ways. And we just want to strengthen families. We want to multiply churches. What Stephen Street has done for us, we don't want it to end with us. Mm-hmm. And from the ground up, we are dead set on this is God's plan, is to multiply. You see it all throughout Acts. And so we're focused on multiplying churches. And lastly, we just want to impact Cookeville for the glory of God and the good of this city. And so those are our focuses. I don't have any tangible goals, any numerical goals with that. That's what we believe God's calling us to do. And so we're going to start taking steps of faith and just being faithful with what's in front of us.
So it's really apparent to me that you've got great passion for the calling that God has put on your life.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. If you could go back now, at the age that you are, right on the cusp of, well, you've already started. You've already had an assembly with this new church. What would you tell yourself in your first year of ministry?
Oh, back when I was like 20?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That's a great question. I guess buckle up. It's just going to be hard.
Well, how about this? What would you tell that young man who had been given a Bible by his mom?
Yeah.
Who just started hearing the voice of the Lord and was about to give his life to Jesus. What would you tell him?
Man, I would say just go all in. It's totally worth it. There was a lot of things I was distracted by during that time that I wish I could take back and just give it to the Lord and dedicate more time to the Lord. You know, our time is so small. My sister passed away when she was 26 years old. I was 19 at the time. And that changes you. It makes you realize the value of time, but I still didn't value it enough. And so I wish I could go back and redeem some of that time for the Lord.
Sure. Sure. Jesse Haywood, thank you so much for spending time with us on The Calling. Thank you for sharing. Wherever you are and whoever you are, whatever's happened in the midst of anything you're feeling, the Lord is calling you higher and to something better. I'm John Nichols on The Calling. This is where we get to meet the church.